This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Joe Flacco back as a Cleveland Brown. Which I was getting, I got a text from a friend, another friend named Joe. And they say, hold on, let me get this right here. He wanted, does this confirm about last year that last year they didn't bring him back because of Deshaun? And I'm like, well, yeah, I think a lot of people assume that,
yeah,
including
did.
You and I. You and I had said, you know, I had to say towards the end of the year, like, enjoy this. They are not bringing him back because of, I mean, you know, he's very sensitive to these things, and they were not going to make that type of investment and have a fan favorite, who Joe Flacco is a fan favorite here. They were not going to have him standing on the sidelines, having everybody in a Flacco jersey, chanting Joe's name while he went out there, and they weren't sure if he was going to be good this year, flat out. We knew that going into last year. They said he was going to be good. They did not know he was going to be good, and they kind of thought he wasn't going to be good. They didn't think he'd get hurt, obviously, but they knew he wasn't going to be good. So here we are. And in seriousness, we'll see how Joe does. We had a call from Eddie in Westlake, says this doesn't take us out of the Kirk Cousins running. I think it does. I think now if you're giving up picks, like, hey, if we had Joe Flacco at 7:45, I don't know if I would have been screaming and yelling at you at 8:01. I think that that's a different conversation. I think the conversation has abruptly changed. Now, I thought, well, we have Kenny Pickett starting the year, and he'll start the year for a very short amount of time, and then it's going to be Shador Sanders. Do I really want to do this? Well, now, you know, Joe is a guy who's, I mean, everything's on the up and up with Joe. He's an upstanding guy. He has command of the locker room that he goes into, and I think he goes into this season knowing that eventually he'll be replaced for a rookie. Who will that rookie be?
This is why I want to get into this, because I was wondering, if this means...
I think this keeps Shador in the conversation, though, back in.
I guess what I'm wondering is, do you set up a system? Is it easier now to install a system across the board that, regardless of whether it's Flacco or whoever the rookie is? Now, it's brought to my attention, well, who was he backing up last year? Well, that
Anthony Richardson.
Did that make sense? I'm sure it was argued over there that why would you have one offense for one guy and another offense?
Well, they were you go back to 2023, they were in a desperate situation. They were trying to find, you know, anybody. They were in a much different circumstance there. But they've usually tried to keep their quarterbacks all the same type of QB, the same type of guy. Shador Sanders, more like Joe Flacco than anybody wants to recognize. Now, I know Joe doesn't move as well as he used to, but Joe could get out there and scoop back in the day. Shador Sanders, he is not one to pull it down and take off and run. So it's good to have Shador Sanders as a possibility pick in the first round. I think that Jackson Dart is a possible pick somewhere in rounds two through whatever, maybe even the first round if you want to do that. I mean, he's the ultimate wild card right now. I think that Jalen Milroe might be coming off the board. I think that Will Howard might be coming off the board. I think that Kyle McCord is on there, just off the top of your head, the type of QBs that you have. I mean, Kenny's a better athlete than what we ever want to give him credit for. We know that he can get out there and go. But if we're going down the line, I think that you start to, you don't cross anybody down, but you start to kind of make a checklist. Okay, these guys are, I think, possibilities for them, and these guys are less likely. But it's the ultimate we don't know draft right now. Marcus in Dayton, you're first up on the Fan. Hello, Marcus.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing this morning?
We're doing well. Go ahead.
Man, I am too excited about this. This has been the thing that I've been praying and wishing and hoping for since the end of the season.
Really?
Yes, because he gives us that quarterback play that we need. We just need that average quarterback play, man. And what he did for us two seasons ago was great. Now, what this does for us in the draft now is that it takes Shador off the table because we're going to have to put up too much.
Really?
And what we're think about it. What we're going to do now, and they're setting this up for, is Jalen Milroe, and that to have him sit behind Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. Well, he's probably going to end up being second, but that relationship that Tommy Rees and them and Jalen Milroe have, they're setting that up to get him prepared to take over the team, man. I'm telling you, this was oh man, this.
So you think this makes this more likely they take Jalen Milroe?
Yes, absolutely.
See, this is the ultimate you don't know draft. I'm telling you, I just got done saying what I said. Marcus, thank you very much for the call. But you broke up there a little bit.
Isn't Milroe the least of the pocket guys in the draft?
That's what I would think, but it's the ultimate. I mean, he's saying it, so he's basically turning Joe Flacco into a coach on the field and showing Jalen Milroe the ropes.
Flacco's been doing this since Lamar Jackson. He went to Denver, and it was Drew Locke. He went to New York, and it was Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
He came. But,
you know, I told you guys yesterday.
I shared with Anthony Richardson.
I shared that theory about who's in charge 2 days ago, and then I told you guys that day I got a call, and then I called two other people, and they're going, no, Ken, you were wrong on this. He really likes Jalen Milroe. I go, Kevin? Yes. Okay. So, again, you can't just cross anybody off. So, I'm not going to kick Marcus off the show.
Can you give me an initial of this person?
No, absolutely not. No. There's three of them. I'd have to give you six initials.
Well, who does it rhyme with?
No.
Well, that would be a good way.
Can you say it backwards?
No.
Say it into a mirror. Can you say it three times and will they appear?
No.
Well, then this doesn't make sense.
What do you mean it doesn't make sense?
It's too hard to figure out who it is then. Yeah.
I know other people around the league, and I know other people who might know Kevin. Is that okay? Can I not know? I mean, we were invited to the gala last year. Do we not know people that know Kevin?
I want to figure it out, Ken. You're making it not easy.
Well, that's up to you guys. You guys can go ahead and guess for the next hour who I was talking to yesterday or 2 days ago.
Long storied career that spanned, how many did he have, eight games with us the first time he came through? I can't remember.
He started five games for the
Browns.
He won four of them. We are going to forget about the whole pumpkin thing in Houston for the playoffs.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I completely erased that from my mind.
Two pick sixes.
But he is coming home. And really, yes. We haven't heard those words since LeBron James. And that's how special
they
are.
I thought Lee Jenkins would write
like
1,500 word essay
on why Joe Flacco felt like this was the right thing for him.
And it might take some time to win that championship, but we're going to be patient with the process. Just like LeBron.
He realizes that nothing is given and everything is earned, and now he'll have the chance to do that again to make amends for what happened against Houston in the playoffs.
And guess what? The NFL is going to cooperate this year. They get to wear the all-white uniforms, the all-white throwbacks, up to four times this year.
Back to when the Flacco era existed?
Exactly.
Was there actually an era?
It was an era. We'll always have Thursday night football against the New York Jets.
Okay, so wait a second. We'll always have Thursday. Okay, so we have the Thursday night as part of
when
the
era.
When
he was in the all-white, that's why I'm referencing.
Oh, yeah, no, I understand. I'm just like, I'm trying to
well,
just
sometimes
take
I kind of have to spell things out for you, so.
Wow. I don't know. Have you met the door yet? This is my good friend, the door. Something about the good Lord something. I don't know.
Don't let the door hit you with the good Lord.
I know, bro. I know. So there are a million questions about this. Where does Joe Flacco stand then in the rotation, Daryl? Because, to me, I think they're still going to give Kenny Pickett a shot. I think he's going to have the opportunity to win the starting competition.
I can't wait for training camp.
Yeah.
For the Joe Flacco Kenny Pickett quarterback competition.
And if you're wrong, Shedeur Sanders is here, then for sure it's an all out competition.
And I am just giddy at the thought of counting completions from both of those guys. There is nothing more that I detest than Browns quarterback competitions in training camp.
Really? I don't know that I've ever heard Daryl Ryder say that. You would think, as a reporter who goes out all the time to cover this team, that competition at training camp is the lifeblood of your occupation. But yet I see you running away from it, almost like scared.
Well, the problem
almost
is...
Almost like you're a little bit scared to cover this.
No!
This dogfight we could have a quarterback that could lead this team to the promised land, the first pick in the draft next
year. No, it's because we do it almost every year. That's why.
More obnoxious, Daryl. Seventh round picks or quarterback competitions?
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will go with the seventh round picks or the cardinal sin that gets you executive of the year consideration.
Here, Daryl, I'm going to make your day. Line six, Damon. Hi, Damon. How are you?
I don't know right now. I'm kind of Daryl and that other guy the other day talking about drafting Travis Hunter. Man, you guys got to be out of your mind.
I like Travis. If they take him, I'm not going to be.
God forbid the Browns take the best player in the draft. What am I thinking? What an idiot I am.
Tell him, Damon.
Draft? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's the best player in the draft. It ain't Abdul Carter. It ain't Shedeur Sanders.
It's Abdul Carter, hands down.
He's the second best player in the draft.
You take Abdul Carter as a running mate.
Can Abdul Carter score touchdowns on offense?
Listen.
You didn't answer the question. Is that a yes or a no?
You're gonna take Travis Hunter and do what with him?
He's going to be my number one wide receiver, and he's going to be my nickel. I'm not done yet. He's going to be my number one wide receiver, and then he's going to be my nickel, dime, red zone, special situation cornerback. Like, he's not going to be every down, but I am going to put him on the field on defense. Absolutely, I will in certain situations. Yep.
Daryl, you know as well as
I'm getting two players for one.
You know better than I do that it takes a few years when a quarterback comes into the league for him to be able to play every down. So there we won't be able to use him.
Unless you're
Definitely can't put him at receiver. You see his pro day at receiver?
I don't care about pro days.
That's laughable.
I don't care about pro days.
I don't care about the combine either. He's got to be kidding me.
Damon, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate you, Damon. Damon, have a good day. Have a good weekend, my friend.
If you're drafting a guy because he looked good in a pro day, you're scouting the wrong way.
I'm not a big pro day guy either. The most important thing that happens in pro day is you get to meet who your future bosses could be. That's about it.
Eye in the sky, don't lie, and Travis Hunter's tape is beautiful.
All right, let's go to Baltimore. Is it Maryland or Ohio? John. Hi, John in Baltimore. How are you?
Hey, it's John Lee in Baltimore, Maryland. How y'all doing, fellas?
What's going on,
John Lee? Why are Ravens fans calling us this morning?
Who said he's a Ravens fan?
First of all, my name's John Lee 216, man. Come on, man. I'm out here doing mental health work, girl.
All right, just making sure you didn't like pull the Cleveland Browns and turn into the Ravens.
I call to agree with you, dude.
Thank you.
Woohoo! Tight, that's chissy. Anyway, did the last caller just say pro day?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's excited about pro days.
John Lee 216, we lose you. John Lee 216. Yeah. I do. You know, can we have some respect? He's living in enemy territory. He called in, wants to be with us.
All right.
Feels like he's with his comrades, talking about what's going on with Joe.
Like I said, just make sure he didn't pull an Art Modell.
Chris is in Rocky River. Hello, Chris.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
Feel better about the quarterback room this morning, like the Flacco signing, but I wanted to speak on Will Howard for a moment.
Tell us.
So I'm a Buckeye fan, you know, and I think it would be cool, but I wasn't really sold on him as a prospect till last night.
Really?
I'm at the Ohio State Coaches Clinic right now.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Just got off the practice field this morning. So last night, someone bowed out of their round table. Will Howard just showed up and did that, and it was really cool.
Okay.
But after that, we do a breakout session, chalk talk with position coaches. And so Billy Fessler was doing the quarterback board. There's like 20 high school coaches around. And Will Howard just comes over for like 45 minutes, just breaking stuff down, taking questions, so quick with his responses and whatnot. Just really impressive. And so to take a shot on him in like a third or fourth round, you know, coming behind what we got in veterans, I like it a lot.
I like it. Can you tell us what high school you're repping or no?
Rocky River.
There you go.
All right, go
Thank
Pirates.
You. Appreciate it. Thanks for the insight. That was good stuff. How about that? It's pretty cool.
That's great.
I like that story.
Hey, I have no objections to them drafting Will Howard later in the draft.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think there's,
I have no issue with it.
Especially,
I mean, I'm not taking him like early in the third round or something.
You're not jumping up. You don't care about the fifth round option on him. You're not jumping back into the first round for him.
No.
Carl is in Akron. Hi, Carl.
Hey, guys. That is a tough call to follow.
It is.
I'm not at any clinics or anything today, but.
You didn't just have a one-on-one with Will Howard? How about Shedeur Sanders? Did you see Shedeur this morning?
No, unfortunately, I didn't, Daryl. I'm sorry. I guess we should send this call now. So, gentlemen, I got three things for you. I'll make it real quick, and I'd love to hear your feedback. Daryl, they did do the Super Bowl chant this morning.
Did they? Oh, I missed it.
Right after you walked in and said hello.
Oh, yes. They didn't do it in... See, that's just like Ken and Anthony. They never have the fun when I'm on, and they consider me to be like the fun police or whatever.
We'll get it fixed.
Oh, that's too funny, but they did. So, okay, gentlemen, two things. I think that this is absolutely a slam dunk by AB. I think this is a fantastic PR move. It's very Shapiro-esque when Mark would bring back some of the old players, the feel-good, if you will.
Are you saying that the Flacco signing is the equivalent of the Guardians bringing back Carlos Santana for the 20th time?
Oh, God, no. I'm saying it's the feel-good, like when the Indians would bring back the Baergas and the Candiotis and all that, the Doug Jones of the world, it was a feel-good. Did they really contribute too much? Not so much. But they loved seeing them back in the uniform, okay?
Yeah, but they need Joe to contribute this fall. That's the thing. Like, this isn't if they're doing a ceremonial signing, I would say you'd probably, do like Nick Chubb or something. But Joe's got to contribute. He's got to win his quarterback competition, and he's got to help him win games.
All right. I'll give you that. And lastly, I'm with you, Daryl. Hunter, number two, two reasons. Third receiver option for the quarterback, hands down. And then, as you said, short red zone as a cornerback, as well as the possibility of, unfortunately, having to sub for Ward should he get hurt again, and more than likely he will.
All right, thank you for the phone call. There's one part that scares me about that, Daryl. Are they drafting him primarily for offense or for defense?
Offense. I mean, Andrew Berry.
I'm not drafting my number three receiver at number two.
Well, Andrew Berry has said that they view Travis Hunter as a receiver primarily, and if they do draft him, which I would, he's your number one wide receiver, and Jerry Jeudy is your number two. Because here's the thing. I love Jerry Jeudy. I don't know that Jerry Jeudy is a number one receiver. I think he's a number two receiver who happened to put up number one receiver stats last year. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Travis is your number one receiver, and again, you pick and choose your spots on the field to put him out there on defense, and hopefully he's able to create a couple turnovers for you.
All right, I'm going to ask you a couple questions when we come back here. And if you want to hop in on the conversation, all you have to do is give us a call. 216-474-0092. You can always hit us up on the X at CLE Talking Heads. Do you believe this is now an open competition for the quarterback more than it would have been in other situations? Do you believe we are now looking at a true open competition when they go into camp? And then the other question is, bringing in Flacco, no matter what they do in the draft, what does this mean for you when you think about the number of wins this team could possibly have next season? So I'll lay those all out for you. Brian Anderson's going to join us at noon. Stephen Holder, who covers the Colts, where Flacco was last year for ESPN, he'll join us at 12:40. And, of course, Tim May gives us a lowdown on all these Buckeyes coming out in the draft, and we're going to get a chance to talk to him. Tim May, 1 o'clock, Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan with Daryl Ryder.
Wow. Ah, Flacco fever. Can you feel it?
Northeast Ohio, is it trembling throughout your veins and going through your blood right now, in between your brains? It's going back and forth like a pinball machine, isn't it? You can see, bing, bing, bing. Flacco fever. Daryl Ryder?
There are songs being dusted off the record players, CD players, the MP3 players, the digital archives.
Eight tracks
from 2023.
Reel to reel.
All the Joe Flacco songs are being resurrected from 2023 today.
Wow. Unbelievable.
It is a huge, huge, huge day. And one of the busiest times of the year for sports. The Browns, of course, preparing for the NFL draft. Flacco fever's back. Playoffs just around the corner for the number one seeded Cavaliers. The Guardian season's underway. They've won three straight at home. Don't miss a minute of The Fan with the latest breaking news during your workday or on the go. Stream us at 923thefan.com. Get your Flacco fever on or on your phone with the free Odyssey app.
All right, we'll go back to the phone lines here in a second. I know they're packed, so hang tight. You can also hit us up on social media at CLE Talking Heads. Daryl Ryder is in for Jeff today. I'm still Andy Baskin. Last time I checked, it said Andy on the back of my Calvin Klein, so I was pretty good. It was like Andy, Calvin Klein. It was weird. I didn't get it. But anyway, I want to ask you this question. What does it mean win-wise for this team that they brought Joe Flacco back? We had a caller just bring that up. Does it, if you woke up this morning thinking the Browns were going to have four wins, what does this mean now?
Waking up thinking they're going to get five or six.
It's a plus two win.
I think I'm reaching a little bit, but okay. But here's the thing too, is I'm also thinking that the impact of training camp with Deshaun Watson and what a disaster that was, like the negative impact that had in the first 7 weeks of the season, that's not going to be there. Okay. I think that the environment's going to be a little different for camp, and I don't anticipate the first 7 weeks of the season are going to go where your quarterback can't throw for 180 yards in a game. So, I'll put him the over-under. I think last time the boys in the desert, as Jonathan Peterlin likes to say, I think he's got it at 5.5. All of a sudden, I'm struggling with that right now. I was thinking I'd go the under on that, but now I'm might be going the over with Joe Flacco as the quarterback.
Wow. Look at the optimism is just flowing, but maybe not to everybody. Let's go back to the phone lines as you've been able to chime in. I know everyone has an opinion on Joe Flacco coming back, what this means for the future of the team, where they're going with this thing. Kenny Pickett is still here, and what are they going to do in the draft? Let's go to line six, Mario. Hey, Mario.
Thanks for having my call, Andy. What's up, Daryl?
Hey.
Absolutely hate it. I'm not enthused. It's like Christmas and you waiting to get that toy you wanted, and then you get the knockoff version. I am so tired of this as a Browns fan. Like, we cried about Joe Flacco all last year. Please bring him back. Please re-sign him. And then you tell us you bring Joe Flacco back now? Yeah, I'm on the verge of just being done with this franchise. Like, this is... Well, hey, I guess we enjoy the six wins that we're going to get this year. It's like, I guess it's anything that appeased and pacified us Cleveland Browns fans. Like, this is madness at this point. I'm legit. I'm apologize for calling in angry, but I'm a legit angry.
You're not
I've never
even really angry. I've heard much angry. Mario, I've heard much angry.
Mario's just a little frustrated. He doesn't have the fever. He has the frustration.
You know, like on a Scooby-Doo commercial where every time they think they got the ghost and then they pull the mask back, that's what's happening here.
Yikes.
Pull the mask back and,
those kids.
Oh, it's Dave, it's Steve DeBerg. All right.
All right, Mario, stay away from those meddling kids. All they do is mess up your day. Let's go line five. Mark is in Cleveland. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Fellas, this means we're going to draft Shador, man, because I cannot. You can't go into the season thinking Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett is going to be your quarterback. I mean, these guys are
trash. I got news for you. They're going into the season thinking Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett are their quarterbacks.
I don't believe that. That's you, Daryl. But I think we're going to definitely get a quarterback if you got these two guys on your roster and you're trying to win. No, it's
can
impossible,
I interest you
man.
In Jackson Dart?
Yeah, you could, but I'd rather have Shador, one of the best completion passes in college football. I mean, that's who I'd rather have, and that's what it means, man. I mean, Joe Flacco was just appeasing, you know, a part of the fan base that really liked him for I don't know what. When we remember those two pick sixes in the playoffs, remember him getting benched last year on a Colts team that needed a quarterback. I mean, it was just – I think he's just a bridge quarterback, man. I don't see – I see us drafting Shadur. I think that makes us go ahead and draft Shadur because we can't go into season with Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, man. That's ridiculous.
Well, a day ago, they were going into the season with Kenny Pickett as your starter. So, yeah, they can.
No, but I think we got him just for Shadur. Bridge, hey, a good, think, great bridge listen, quarterback.
Listen, if they don't take Shadur, do you think what Lewis Riddick said – was, I mean, obviously he's got ties to the family. He's known the kid for a long time.
Right.
Do you think he's doing an attaboy for the family to try to get him out of the top three spots?
I 100% think that that's what
no.
they're doing.
Is that, you don't think? Well, remember, remember when Deion said early on if there's a team he didn't want his kid to play for, he was going to make sure that didn't happen, right? Essentially. I know I'm paraphrasing.
No, I thought Deion said he wouldn't do that. I thought he said he would let the chips fall where they may.
That was the second thing. He said that after the fact. Well, originally it said...
Deion's making it known that if Shadur does quote-unquote slide down the board a little bit, they're not going to be heartbroken.
But you guys got to remember, too, it matters to those guys, money-wise and everything else, where you get drafted at. Don't nobody want to fall down under 10 anything. You want to get picked number one and number two. That really means something. I don't see him wanting him to slide or them guys wanting him to go to New York, which haven't been proved to be a better franchise than the Cleveland Browns.
All right, I'll take what you're saying. I'm just. Do you know what the slot prices are on the
off the top of my head? No. But
how drastic is the difference between?
There is between
2 and 3. That's what I'm saying.
It's top three picks. You're in the same ballpark pay wise, contract value wise.
Gotcha. All right, you are out in full force, and we know we want to hear from you. So let's go to Lenny.
Real quick before you get to there, Andy. A little bit of news coming down from Kent State. Here is a statement from Vice President and Director of Athletics Randall L. Richmond. Kent State University has terminated the employment of head football coach Kenny Burns. Offensive coordinator Matt Carney will serve as interim head football coach with a national search taking place at the conclusion of the 2025 season. At this time, our focus will be to support our student athletes and provide them with the best opportunity to have a positive and competitive experience. The head football coach, Kenny Burns, was put on leave a little bit earlier in the season. So seems that is a conclusion to his tenure.
Yeah, Josh Cribbs on line one for the Kent State athletic director.
Yeah, I wonder, Josh, did I not read that Josh is interested?
Thank you for listening to the Sunday show with myself and Nick Padone. He called in and
oh, he did call in?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What did he say?
That's why he called in, because he wants the Kent State job.
Okay. I can think of worse things for Kent State.
Me too.
I mean, I know they put a lot of money into that program. I know
Josh told Nick Padone and myself that he's got NIL money ready to go. He's got some former coaches that he is he knows that are ready to go. So he would be ready to hit the ground running if he could get that job. But no, Josh Cribbs absolutely does want that Kent State head football coaching job. That's why again. When people want coaching jobs, they call Daryl Ryder and Nick Padone Sundays 10 to 2 on 92.3 The Fan.
That's where you get your best information, 10 to 2, right? Six out of 7 days a week?
Seven out of seven.
I don't know. Who's on Saturdays?
We got Earl and
Network?
Spencer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Earl and Spencer.
I thought we were in
and
Network.
And then tomorrow.
I'm sorry, Earl. I'm sorry, Spencer. I love
that. And then tomorrow, I guess, Ken Carman and Anthony Limer are going to be broadcasting from every room in a house from 10 to 2.
Wow, that sounds like super exciting.
I texted him. I said, hey, you should have me come out and do a home inspection for you.
But if it's brand new, there better not be any problems. I can tell you that. Let's take one more phone call here before we hit the top of the hour. Lenny in Amherst. Hi, Lenny, line four.
Hey, good morning. A couple of weeks ago when you and Jeff were both off, they had Brian Anderson on.
Okay. He'll be on later today, by the way, too.
And one of the things that he said, and I've been saying it for a while, is, first, number one, I'm glad Joe is back. But I was always saying to use the number two pick on a dual Carter, and okay. I'm okay with Travis Hunter, too. But if I was the Browns right now, and you can tell me what you think, I'd be on the phone with the Giants and the team with the number four pick and making a deal with them to pick up another pick or two.
What do you think of that, Daryl?
And that's it. Thank you, fellas.
Thank you.
I admittedly, 2 months ago, was on the trade down train, but I'm off. I want Travis Hunter at two. Don't mess around. Don't get cute. Give me Travis Hunter at two. Because part of my theory a couple months ago was, okay, if you trade down, like we just heard there, you collect an asset for 2026 to position yourself to go get one of these quarterbacks. I think if you trade down, you lose out on Travis Hunter. And depending how far you trade down, you definitely lose out on Abdul Carter. I think those are the two best players in this draft. And you absolutely, coming off a 3-14 season, Andy, you have to come out of this draft with one of the top, with one of the best two players. Sorry, Cam Ward's not one of the best two players in this draft. He's not even, in my view, in the top 10 players in this draft class. But he's going to go number one to Tennessee. That means you got your choice between Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter. Andrew Berry, you better choose wisely. I think it's Travis Hunter. And so I have gotten off the trade down for the future train. Go ahead and take the best player in the draft.
All right, so you're saying Travis Hunter at 2.
Yep.
Okay.
I am pounding the table
if
for Travis
Hunter.
If
that happens, there still is a need for a quarterback, and there is one name that keeps flying across not only our call screen right now, but I've been getting texts all morning about it.
If you say Kirk Cousins, I'm slapping you.
I am not going to. No, this is a current college quarterback that I know there are a lot of folks around here that would like to see him wearing a Browns uniform and have the chance to develop. Who are we talking about? You'll find out after the break. We'll come back. Brian Anderson, by the way, is going to join us at noon. Tim May, Letterman Row, is going to fill us in on maybe what I'm about to talk about in the next segment, too. So hang tight. Baskin and Phelps with Daryl Ryder.
He would be working out with the Steelers today if the Browns had told him they were going to take him.
I don't think so either. I don't. Today, is this the last day of Shedeur Sanders talk? Is this it? Are we done with Shedeur Sanders?
Yeah, I think we are.
If you're taking a quarterback that high, you just take the guy. That's it. You know what? You made it a lot easier for me, Anthony. No more Shedeur Sanders talk. It's over. Shedeur Sanders talk is in a pink Cadillac under a bridge right now. The talk and its wife. He loved that car. It's in my mother's name. It's over, man.
Got those new fur-lined shoulder pads.
Yep, it's over. It's hanging in a meat truck right now. It's being dropped out of the back of a garbage truck right now. Whatever else happened in that scene.
There's just no way I think he would be taking a visit with the Steelers or doing anything if he had any guarantees ahead, including the Browns.
Now you just have to hope. And I'm going to hope, because just like the movie, Pauly gives him $3,200 and he has to turn his back on him. Now I got to turn my back on Shedeur Sanders and hope that either A, he ends up with a different team, or B, he ends up with the Steelers and he sucks up the room. I'm sorry.
And where was Henry Hill flying back and forth to?
Pittsburgh. There you go.
It all makes sense.
His Pittsburgh connections.
Now, is the push here to try to get another team?
Keep your mind on the drugs, I tell you, I'm branding a mush.
Is the push here to get another team to trade up? You know, to get the Steelers to trade up to get them, or a team behind the Steelers? Like,
wait,
this is
trade up with who?
That's what I mean.
Oh.
That's all part of this. But
the Browns and Steelers have made a trade before.
Sure.
In the draft.
Sure, but obviously I...
Well, yeah, but even if any other team that might have eyes on Shedeur... going, okay, now we're seeing other teams. He's going other teams. The Browns obviously aren't dead set on him. Let's make an offer.
Well, does anybody want to make a... Hey, I'll open up the phones. Does anybody want to make a case for Shedeur? Or is that it? Are we making a mistake by crossing him off the list? Are we making a mistake then? Will this be a day that we rue as Cleveland Browns fans and media? Where's Peterlin when you need him? What's Peterlin going to do with the jersey? Should he set it on fire? Isn't that what people do when players don't play for their teams anymore? Forever, really, in this case.
Facebook Marketplace to get some money going for your next jersey?
What if they took Shiloh Sanders later on? Can he put like a one next to that? Well, no, that's Denzel's number. Are DBs allowed to wear the number two?
Yes.
Okay, then maybe where's number two? Shiloh might get drafted. Or picked up as a free agent. So, okay, Peterlin, if he's out there, don't put away the jersey just yet. There's also Shiloh Sanders.
They've got pick 255.
That's a possibility.
They got pick 216.
And if he doesn't make the team, then you could have it like one of those ironic baseball jerseys that you see over at Progressive Field when people wear like a Bill Selby jersey or something like that. That's always nice. So, yeah, I mean, if we're – because, guys, like 2 months – this is how crazy this draft is. 2 months ago, I was like, stop it. Because I was mad at Daryl for being afraid, and I still think Daryl's afraid. And I do think Daryl's going to bitch our ear off at one point in September, and I'm going to get in a shouting match with him. I can already feel it. The gloves are going to come off with Daryl and I. Because you can't tell me not to take guys and that everybody sucks and don't pick up free agents and then turn right around and start yelling about how bad the Browns are in September. I mean, fans can do whatever they want. Daryl, I'm going to hold accountable. But if you think we're making a mistake, please let me know. Because at this point, I'm ready to close the book and have Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, Tyler Shook, Jackson Dart,
yeah.
Jalen Mo, which guys...
Let them all fly. Let's go.
I'm going to tell you guys tomorrow, I was personally called yesterday. Should I do this at 9:40? I was personally called yesterday by a source after the segment.
Why would we wait till 9:40?
Add it to the tracker.
I'll tell you guys at 9:40. I shared a theory yesterday about Jalen Milroe and Jackson Dart. And I've been used as a patsy before, but I'll tell you guys coming up at 9:40 how it went. 216-474-0092. Is that conversation over about Shedeur Sanders? Lima, are you willing to call it quits?
Yeah, it kind of feels like unless it's a trade up later, unless it's to get him in free fall mode.
Is Mitch listening? Mitch, you there? I don't think he's there.
I'm here.
Oh, Mitch, are you willing to call it quits on Shedeur Sanders conversation?
It seems like we won't get him, but I'm not going to quit yet.
Okay. Well, the typical Mitch not answer was not answered. Owen?
Can I quit something I was never really in on in the first place?
Ooh. Well, the conversation.
The conversation's fine. We've got 2 weeks. I don't think the conversation's dead at all. I think it's going to cycle back around.
He's still meeting teams. It's a quarterback.
Of course.
Like, I think Lima kind of hit it out of the park. If he's meeting with the Steelers, like,
You ever have a flirtatious relationship with someone and then you don't see him for a little bit and you might find out they're talking to other people and you get a little pissed and you don't talk and then you end up talking again?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think that's probably going to happen, and I think we're probably going to analyze it all.
Did you ever have a summer fling?
Oh, yeah.
Jim in Concord Township, you're first up on the Fan. Yellow.
Yeah, I've been rooting for them to get Shedeur for a long time, but, that puts a little dent in it, but I'm not giving up. And you had a great interview with Cosell, and I believe what he's saying about the quarterbacks. And the thing they can't measure with Shedeur is his heart and his mind and his strength. Montana was there with Dan Marino, Elway. They all had better things on tape, but Montana had the heart and the mind. So I wouldn't give up on Shedeur.
So this is a mistake to pass up on Shedeur Sanders, is what you're saying?
I think so, but what do I know? I'm just a
Your opinion's just as justified as mine. I don't worry. You know, I ain't working for him. So I mean, what are you going to do? You know, right. I don't have a problem with you saying that, Jim. Thank you very much for the call. I mean, your opinions are just as good as mine, at least on this show they are. I mean, hell, I don't know. I mean, I am a football guy, don't get me wrong, but you get what I'm saying. 216-474-0092. Greg also talked about Travis Hunter and what side of the ball to put him on. I think you're going to have to pick. It's starting to come back to my original fear with Travis Hunter and where I kind of wanted to take him off the board a while ago, and it wasn't based on Travis Hunter. Again, this is how crazy this draft has been. I started off where I'm like, I don't trust the Browns to take Travis Hunter because I don't think they're going to put him in the position to be very successful for the Browns. And then it just became so apparent that I think they're going to zone in on Travis Hunter that I said, okay, I'm making the pick. I'll take Travis Hunter as the best overall athlete, best overall prospect, that whole thing. And then when Greg talks to me, I'm going, man, like what Greg Cosell, and you got to hear that, 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app. What Greg Cosell says, it makes a lot of sense. For Travis Hunter, what position would he have a better chance at long-term NFL success with, wide receiver or cornerback?
The question is not what could he have more long-term success as, is what can he play in the NFL and go through the week of preparation so that he can be prepared to play? Because that's the way you have to think about it. Obviously, he's a ridiculous athlete. We've never seen anybody do what he's done, but can you imagine Nick Sirianni walking into Vic Fangio and saying, Vic, well, you know, you don't have Travis today to work, you know, with the defense because, you know, he's got to be with the offense. That's where the factor comes into play.
So, by the way, he mentions Vic Fangio. I think he's talking about Jim Schwartz there in this case. But regardless, we all mess up names here and there. With Travis Hunter, that's he just confirmed my big concern. My real big concern here, Anthony, is that, man, like, I just worry about when they take him. Fine, you could say that that's the pick. No matter who the front office is in this case, maybe that's the pick. Okay, that's fair. But now I have to worry about the coaching staff, because does he get caught in a tug of war here between the both sides of the ball, and does he get lost because of that? That's my biggest concern
and
here.
What teams are going to be disciplined throughout all of that? What teams would admit If it wasn't working out for whatever reason, whether he's gassed or one side of the ball just is in much more need of him, or we find out he's just way better at one side than the other. Right now, no one seems to know. I had heard most NFL teams had him as a corner first before a wide receiver, but then you find out later. Like, what teams are going to be disciplined to correct that, not worry about looking stupid? Because whoever takes him is probably all preseason going to hype him up as this all-time jack-of-all-trades, can do it all on the field, look at these fun packages. That's all fine and fun in August.
Yeah.
And even, you know, mini camps and stuff. Once we get to October and guys are going down with injuries.
Yep.
Like, what teams are going to be disciplined maybe swallow their pride put him where he needs to be?
It is going to take an unreal amount of discipline that people do not believe in right now, because they don't trust this organization. They don't trust the team. They were 3-13 last year. Sorry, I'm losing count of losses. They don't trust him, and he's gonna come here, and in rookie camp and all that stuff, he's going to look amazing. And he's going to look great in T-shirts and shorts. And then we're going to get to camp, and it's going to be time for the nitty-gritty. Where are we going to put him? Because all those coaches are going to come out, oh, he's a weapon here. We used him here. We used him there. He's such a great player, such a great kid. And I believe all them things. And then it's going to be time to put helmets or put real shoulder pads on and all that other stuff and try to run into each other. And then it's exactly as you said, where are we going to put this kid for most of the time? Because he can't just split it 50-50. You can't play 120 snaps a game in the NFL. So where are we going to put him? What side does it make sense? Well, right now, you need offense like crazy. You're starving. So where are you going to put him? I would imagine you put him on offense. Plus, if he's slight, which one of the questions are his size, his weight, I should say. If he's slight, that makes more sense to maybe put him as a wide receiver. And I don't want him to get lost out there in the tug and pull between the two factions.
Is that why you missed the bat signal this morning?
No, I was sleeping. I was sleeping. Charlotte has been waking up incredibly early. Not like incredibly early like your kids wake up, but like for her. Yeah. And she just slept in today. And so I slept in as well. And I woke up about 8:15 or so. I looked over at my phone, got the text from Lima saying Shador is done, and then call in with like 12 exclamation points. It was like 3 exclamation points. Yeah. But I was like, well, what happened?
Yeah.
Instinctively, I thought to myself, I'm like, oh no. Like, was there a massive development in the Shador Sanders sweepstakes that I was unaware of?
And you missed it for an hour.
I genuinely did. I wondered if when I went to sleep last night and then woke up, I'm like, what happened? What could they have possibly said? And I'm like, it doesn't even matter. Anything short of Andrew Berry saying we're choosing Travis Hunter at number 2 would have all just been rumors and would have just been a bunch of nonsense. And I was dying to find out what happened. Nothing happened.
Well, something did happen. No one's talking Shador to the Browns anymore. That's done.
No one was talking,
2 weeks to go.
No one was talking Shador to the Browns 2 days ago either.
With 2 weeks to go. Like,
I thought there was a new development from the time I went to sleep until the time I woke up. There was no new development. Oh, yeah, he's doing pro days. Yeah, of course he's doing pro days.
I mean, LeCan has decided that, that he just...
the LeBron James of sports
that's
talk.
That's true. LeCan Carman is saying, We're not talking it anymore. Which I hope to God, please, Andrew Berry, if you're listening, friend to friend, I know I've said some things. I won't take any of them back. I stand behind everything I've said.
Every word of them, but yeah.
I care about you. I care about life. And I'm just saying things now, heart to heart. Please tomorrow leak the biggest rumor that Shador is the pick at two.
I want to see how they would maintain their Shea silence that they seem to have in the morning show now, yeah. Which was great because then in the 7:15.
Can we call that Shishun?
Sure. That one actually rolls off nicely. If it's 7:15, you say you're done talking Shador Sanders and you're over talking Shador Sanders and you're never going to have to talk about him again. And then you interview Greg Cassell talking about Shador Sanders and then interview Mary Kay Cabot talking about Shador Sanders and then open up the 9:20 segment talking about Shador Sanders. Are you really putting a shun on the Shador Sanders conversation?
You know, now that you've said it, because we're going to take a hard stance too. I'm gonna see their Shishun. I'm going Travis Hunter. I'm going Abdul Carter. I'm going trade down. I will not talk about any of the prospects previously linked to the Browns at two, except for the next 2 weeks when we talk about them.
Exclusively.
But other than that, you will not hear me say Shador Sanders, other than the next 2 weeks.
You will not
hear me say Abdul Carter. Not a once, except every time that I mention it.
I'm happy that they realized it was a pretty bad business decision to do a whole segment based off, we won't talk about the most interesting player in the draft while the draft sits 2.5 weeks away. No. We'll occupy real estate 3 months ago about Shador wall-to-wall, but now we won't do it. Okay.
I look forward to 3 hours of Guardians talk a morning for the next 2 weeks.
Hey, some play-in games for the NBA next week. I'm sure that can be 4 hours a day for you.
I mean, you got when you can talk Bulls Heat. I mean, you got to break it down with the nits and grits.
I genuinely wondered. I was like, what could have happened? You know, how you have those moments where you're just early. FOMO. You just woke up. Yeah, but yeah. It was massive FOMO.
You get the sweats. When you work in this business, that absolutely happens.
Yeah, I was like, are you kidding me? The one day I get to sleep in a little bit longer, did I just happen to miss the biggest Browns news imaginable? No. He did some visits with the Steelers, and all of a sudden, I guess they're done talking about him.
I mean, Louis Riddick goes off on national television and then further sets fire to Shador's draft stock with Mary Kay Cabot at Cleveland.com. And it's time to bold stance, Cotton. I mean, bold stance. Now, all this being said, there is a part of me that wonders if maybe Shador Sanders' camp failed the test. Right? Can we agree that everything in the pre-draft process is a test, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been very vocal for being in Shador Sanders' camp. I think I've been pretty vocal about how badly I feel like they've played this whole thing.
So I'm glad, and we actually got into this a bit yesterday, but the more I thought about the Louis Riddick meltdown about Shador Sanders, I don't want him to go top three. 6 weeks ago, the kid said himself he wants to go top three. Nothing changed. Simmer down. But I think it's fascinating, but two, because the entire pre-draft process is a test process, I wouldn't be surprised if teams thought to themselves, you know what, we don't have as much concerns about the kid and maybe about all the power brokers around him, his dad's involvement, all the guys that might be like uncle level friends around football, because Deion is very well connected. Maybe let's do something to see how it handles. And so initially, I remember thinking, and I didn't say it on air, but I remember when the report first came out after the combine, Shador behaved arrogantly and turned some teams off in the process.
Yeah, then like our buddy Joe DeLeon was like, he thought there was very suspect, yeah.
I wondered, okay, is that a stress test for Shador's camp? Well, even if that wasn't, this should drop. Clearly, whether it's an intentional thing or not, has exposed that for every single person who for months has said, well, you can't blame Shador for this idea of a camp because his dad said this or his dad said that, and dismissed the idea that Shador's camp wasn't going to be a vocal part of his NFL journey.
Yeah.
This last week has disproved all of that.
It does. No, it highlights it highlights the idea that Deion's friendships are definitely going to be a big part of this. And that's why yesterday when we were talking about it, I said to you something along the lines about how if you're Stefanski, if you're Daboll, if you're one of these head coaches, you're not going to be able to win any battles if Shedeur Sanders starts to basically stink up the joint. Because it's good, the blame's going to go on you. Because guys like Riddick, with a national platform and the voice that he has, isn't going to put it on the guy that you know, he's been friends with for 25 years. Not going to put it on his kid. He's going to go ahead and put it on the coaches. You know, Tom Brady's not going to do these broadcasts when he's known him since he was 15 years old and helped coach him and then blame Shedeur Sanders. He's going to put it at the feet of these coaches.
And here's the thing. All you had to do was not react until the draft. All you had to do was pass the test of, because this happens, a prospect like Shedeur that for one reason or another is an incendiary prospect. There's so much around him, both as a player and as a person. All you had to do is not react to the Shedrop. And so by doing so, you might have actually worsened or hastened or at least created that extra bit of doubt in the minds of football teams of, these guys are going to be a pain in my ass unless this kid has the most flawless of flawless careers. And so it's already, listen, it's already something, and you and I have talked a lot about the game, the all right, every pick that maybe you go into this year, every move, is Andrew Berry trying to save his job? Is he trying to, you know, put himself in a better position to stay long term? That kind of thinking, even if it's not Andrew, that kind of thinking is, I mean, a plague in the NFL. And it certainly has plagued the Cleveland Browns previously. So if those guys are already thinking, all right, man, I don't know, he's a great quarterback. He might be just a good quarterback, which in and of itself is about as risky as it gets. Daniel Jones gets coaches fired. Baker Mayfield got some coaches fired before Stefanski, and then he got himself fired. Like, mid-quarterbacks get coaches fired more so than even just like you were stank coming out of the NFL. So all you had to do was not add that extra layer of doubt. And then you didn't just add the extra layer of doubt with how Lewis Riddick went off, both with Mary Kay on Cleveland.com and on First Take. But you took the bait. And what's wild to me is, it's wild to me that anybody actually took the damn bait. How do you not understand that this could have been a stress test of your camp, and you have massively failed now twice?
Even at the pro day, like, we have not discussed or highlighted that clip that went very viral with Deion at the pro day, where he was yelling at some of the scouts, like, basically, you're on my turf, this is my field, you don't get to tell my guys what drills to run, I'll tell you what drills to run. And it just kind of speaks to the volumes of how they want to run the show. And it really is. It's Deion's show or it's nobody's show.
So I've done the Shedrop thing for a while. It's a little tongue-in-cheek for you and me to have fun throughout this process.
Yeah.
Because you and I are probably more set in stone with how we view that specific prospect, and he happens to be the most incendiary prospect in this draft from just a content side of things. But man, in watching not just him, but watching how it's become even more evident about who's on the side of Deion and who isn't, I think it crystallized every concern you could have about the off-the-field stuff with Shedeur, even if the kid himself is a nice kid.
You just know there's going to be people that are going to be in his corner no matter what. And I don't think it's done enough to drop him out of the first round or anything crazy like that. I really truthfully don't. If he has a massive plummet on that round one where he is into the second round, then I think we can look back onto some of these things. But I don't think it's hurt him nearly to the degree that I think some people are suggesting.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media. Social media reactions on X powered by Scheiben Jewelers. We do have quick hits coming up at 2:40 today.
I mean, the difference here, Nick, I just want to do this really quickly, is like when Caleb Williams started to get people to kind of like basically pick and really try to pick him apart as a prospect last year throughout the draft prospect. Remember his dad then went on like all the different shows and just kind of made a fool out of himself. But it was like, well, who else does he have in his corner? Like the only person that could stick up for him that moment, as people were even starting to debate whether or not Caleb wouldn't be 1-1 and they were having all those conversations, he didn't have all these people in the media to kind of just do his bidding for him. Shedeur has these guys, and he has them planted everywhere. It's obvious when you look back at the relationships, who's there and why they're fighting. But yeah, it's a very different, unique setup that you just don't have for these prospects ever.
The only thing is, nobody doubted Caleb Williams physically was equipped to be a first round pick.
No, but they did doubt some parts of his game though, and that's why.
But it was never in serious doubt that he was going to be the number one pick. He didn't have the same fungibility. I like that word. You taught it to me. Fungibility
Do you remember though? There was that whole like week and a half stretch where Colin Cowherd said that his sources were talking about how Caleb Williams didn't know if he would love Chicago, didn't know if he wanted to play in Chicago, didn't know if he wanted to be on that side of the country and all those other things, and he didn't have anybody to come out and say, hey, that's not who I am. That's not what I'm about. I love wherever I would go. I do this and that. He didn't have any of those guys. Like, it was his dad. His dad had to go out and try to defend for him, and then he got ripped because it was his dad that was the only one that had that voice. What makes Shador different is that Shador doesn't ever have to go out there and vocalize all the arrows that gets thrown in his direction. He just has guys like Lewis Riddick out there to be able to do it for him.
But what also makes the difference here is that Caleb Williams' dad can be silenced relatively easy because it's one guy. When you have a network of guys and your draft stock is already maybe, I don't want to say volatile because that's not fair to the kid, but whether you're a true first-round grade or not is absolutely up for debate. I think this matters a little bit more than that. I think this is absolutely, listen, I don't know where the kid's going to go. And I don't want to act like I know the Shadrop is real, but I'm starting to think that they've telegraphed that it's a hell of a lot more likely that kid's picked somewhere in the 20s than he is in the top 10. And that's not just because we have a burger bet going on it. I promise you.
Sounds like it might be influenced by a burger bet.
It's them failing the test.
Sounds like you want that Wagyu beef.
In a way that is so obvious that this is going to be a part of the conversation, and they went out swinging so hard that it's clear they think it's real.
I think they look at the drop different, though. I think they're looking at it like... The Shadrop. I think they look at it like anything outside of the top three is, oh my God, sky is falling. And they look at 11 way differently than we talk about him going to 21, 22, somewhere in there. I just think they look at this different.
216-474-0092. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We do have Dane Brugler of The Athletic coming up at 4 today. We'll get his thoughts. I don't remember if he really is a big fan of Shador's game or not.
Yeah, can't possibly remember that.
I'm going to have to check my notes on that one.
No idea if he likes him or doesn't.
We do have Michael Katz, Ole Miss reporter for the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. That's at 6. And we got Mock Me coming up at 6:20 today. I just butchered that so sufficiently that I just can't help but amuse myself at how bad that was.
It's like you ever go on one of those shows and then they say your name wrong. You have a very easy name, so they probably don't say your name wrong. Every now and then I'll go on one of those shows and it'll be like, Jonathan Pederlin from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. And you're just like, yeah, that's fine. I'm not Dan Patrick. I get it.
They never get the show name right. That's what always, it's like, guys, it's in my handle. It's Afternoon Drive on 92.3 The Fan.
They don't know that's the name of the show, though.
No, they don't.
They just think you're doing Afternoon Drive.
But they'll do like WKRK. It's like, it's just 90. Nobody calls it WKRK.
Or 92.3.
Yes,
92.3. Yeah, 92.3. It's like, okay.
Or with my Twitter handle, at Nick Wilson Says, they'll be like, at Nick Wilson Says? They're confused by it. It's like, pretty straightforward. Mock Me coming up at 6:20. Get in your mock drafts now. At Nick Wilson Says, at Jay Peterlin. Use the hashtag Mock Me. We'll react to your mock draft alongside the pros there. Did Shador's camp fail the test? It feels pretty obvious that whether it's intentional or not, the stress test of Shador's camp probably not going to ease anybody's mind about whether he's going to be a pain in the ass or not in the pros. And the mark of the same old Browns coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Hey. Meant to send it to my cabin boys.
Yeah.
That okay, I think of you and Daryl, because Daryl was the other person in the tweet.
Yeah.
Or text. I think of you so closely that I think of you as my other cabin boys.
Hey, listen, you didn't say anything, nefarious or anything like that. I was just like, you don't have to, in a text thread with Daryl, you don't have to call me your partner. It's okay. Unlike the last time, you didn't send a text to the right person.
That's what I say. This one ended a lot better than...
I'll never forget that day.
A Cold War that I don't think has ever ended.
Been about
8 years since I sent that bad boy. Daddy's back.
I don't think the fence has ever really truly got mended. You know what? But it was a good reminder to everyone. And since that story, I check all the time to make sure that I'm sending it to the right person. All the time.
Here's the thing. So do I.
Constantly.
And I already clicked out of one message
Once every 8 years is a pretty good. That's a good ratio.
No, it still is. The end result is I'm still a moron.
I'm not arguing that right
yeah,
now.
But, thank you.
You know.
Now,
I wanted to call you something that we can't call each other right now.
Is it something I said in the
yeah,
last
that's
segment?
Exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was.
So listen, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was the PFT write-up, the Pro Football Talk write-up. I don't know if it was ESPN having this as the lead story on their website
yeah.
all day. I don't know what when it hit critical mass for me. But I do not get how Deshaun's post, where he clapped back, seemingly at the kind of knock that the Browns sent his way, saying, you know, that he's built for this and saying he's, you know, he's going to be back and better than ever. I have no idea how this is a national story or how anyone would breathe life in any way into anything that a guy who has not played good football for 4 years, 5 years now, actually, why this is a story. I just do not get it. And I found it to be the most annoying thing. Hey, Deshaun said he's going to be back and better than ever. I believe he said a lot of things the last 3 years.
Yeah, he's been talking a lot. The funny part to me about the story was how, listen, it's not like you need to be in the world's greatest shape to be a quarterback necessarily. We've all seen like the shirtless photos of Mac Jones. Like some of these guys are very obsessed with their body and it shows. You don't really necessarily have to be if you're a quarterback. But the funny thing is half this video is him shirtless. And my thought was like, I don't think you're impressing anybody here at the moment. Like it didn't look like he was like ripped, like he'd been working out. It was almost like the video you would make if you hadn't been working out and was trying to show everyone that you were starting your workout journey, not the one that suggests that you're back and better than ever.
It also just feels like every time Deshaun talks, he tries to talk in these motivational senses, but he did the three previous years.
Yeah, he's right? always done this. Yeah.
And so, like, it's
he's
just,
always been on Instagram with the motivational stuff, the Tony Robbins quotes, all that.
I was so annoyed by this whole thing because it's like, one, he's not even on the comeback trail. It's so unlikely that he'll play, even if he's healthy enough to play this year. And when this video should probably pick up more traction is when there's a credible threat of him doing something on a football
field.
But
this is him being attention starved. This is why he does the things that he does. This is why he does the walking boot outside of the car with his girlfriend, now fiance. Like he does all of these things. He has constantly been, and the entire time we've been watching him from a little bit of a distance here with the Browns, it has always been about attention. He is very much Aaron Rodgers-esque in that regard. We just don't talk about him that same way.
Exactly. Which is why, to me, I'm not mad at Deshaun for being Deshaun. We're done. I don't have a lot of interest in hearing from him. I feel like everybody in town gave him multiple opportunities to get to know him. For whatever reason, we just never did. And okay, I don't want to say water under the bridge, but I don't hold grudges. I just am not interested in this. I can't figure why anybody else would be interested. Like I don't know what about the Deshaun quote that he said
yeah.
was in any way interesting to national folks to pick it up and aggregate the thing in a way. Is it they just haven't followed Deshaun's, you know, his kind of past and him saying things and not living up to it?
I do wonder if there's just a part of the national media and everyone else that wonders if you get him away from the Browns, could he actually end up being something once again? We know that's not true because we know his injuries and we know everything associated with this. But I do wonder, if in trying to build himself for another team, if that's what people are leaning on.
So I'm glad you said that because the specific to the headline that ESPN used, Browns Watson using doubters is comeback fuel.
Yeah. Because who doesn't love a comeback story but America? America loves a comeback story. And if it's going to be painted as a comeback story, I think it's going to make every one of us angry here locally. But I could see the rest of the NFL latching onto that.
I think it's going to make a lot of people uncomfortable around the NFL. No, I shouldn't say around the NFL. But I think NFL fans, like, to be a comeback story, and to just paint this as a comeback from the injuries is wildly disingenuous. And so part of that was, I think, my BS sensor going off of, oh, are we flipping to try and have sort of...
I get what you're saying, but we give everyone, with time, Nick, we forget about everything.
Yeah, well, okay.
Tiger Woods, great example. Tiger Woods would be open arms, widely applauded if he showed up to the Masters today. Like, with time, we just forget everything.
Did Tiger Woods have some sort of forthright, honest moment with the American people that maybe bought him a second opportunity?
I mean, not really.
He spoke about the off the field stuff, the addiction, the
yeah. But even that was a couple years after what happened.
Yeah, but he did it. Michael Vick went on a whole
Vick did a lot
apology
of work.
Tour.
Vick did a lot of work in that regard.
Actually put the work within it.
Like I don't even hesitate with Tiger because I've gotten on Tiger in the past. I don't think he's done nearly enough, and I think everyone just kind of just propped him up just because enough time did pass. Like, did Big Ben go on an apology tour? I don't remember that.
He just kept playing good football. And that just obscured
and
the fact.
That's kind of what I think Deshaun is banking on. I don't know if he'll ever be given an opportunity to do so, but we read in that report yesterday from ESPN that they dropped where it was they talked to all sorts of league executives, and the executives were suggesting that another team would give him an opportunity once he was done with his deal here.
I think what frustrated me was this felt like, and I think even in Florio, I don't know if there's been a national media member that has gone farther out on a ledge in what might even maybe at some points be defamatory. You walk a line when you talk about what Deshaun was accused of and how you portray him when you're not, I don't know, you weren't there. And there's just, he took some liberties with that.
Sure.
Even in his story, it's like, wait, are you going to frame him as somehow a sympathetic figure now? Because it's disingenuous for two reasons. One, Deshaun hasn't done the work to earn that. And two, are you telling me that your biggest issue in this is with the Cleveland Browns and how they run their organization and not a person who was accused of everything that we've heard the Browns defamed for supporting and or acquiring? I think that to me, and taking shots at Browns fans for 3 years.
I'd have to read that piece. I didn't read that one.
Just the framing of it felt, one, clickbaity, and two, especially that ESPN headline. It's like, what are we talking about? This is not just another player coming off an Achilles injury. This isn't just a different, the normal kind of, oh, he's an underdog now. No, you're obscuring some very real facts there. He fooled me 3 times. He won't fool me again. Michael Katz, Ole Miss reporter, talking Jackson Dart in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.